Hello everybody. Hi, it's George from Ireland. So thank you back for coming back to my channel once again. And in this video, I'm going to ask whether the Ukrainians are raiding into Russia. Now, since fairly on in the war, the Ukrainians have shelled Russian border towns. And why wouldn't they? That's entirely acceptable in the circumstances. The permissibility of shelling into enemy territory where they've invaded you is crystal clear. Into international law. Russia's thrown everything it has at Ukraine, has bombarded cities indiscriminately, obviously with shells, with rockets, with missiles, purposefully targeted the civilian energy infrastructure, deliberately killed thousands of civilians. The United Nations has confirmed over 8,000 Ukrainian civilian deaths as a direct result of this war, and the UN admits it's probably well behind on that one. Now, I don't want the Ukrainians to deliberately kill any Russian civilians. So far as I know, they haven't deliberately killed a single one. Inevitably, with munitions flying around, civilians are accidentally going to get killed, but that must never be the objective of this attack. But the question is, have the Ukrainians actually crossed the border? Which, again, they're completely entitled to do, as Russia's begun this war like 9 years ago. And then you see in a rather Pecksniffian manner with this moral high tone, the Russian sanctimoniously saying, they crossed the state border. I mean, crossing a border illegally to attack another country. That's shocking. Russia would never dream of doing that, except in Ukraine, Moldova, Georgia, and a host of other countries. This latest story is a bit more dubious about whether the Ukrainians have done this, or rather Ukrainian forces are not actually Ukrainian, because it was just yesterday, Thursday the 2nd of March, that the Kremlin said that some Ukrainian saboteurs had crossed the frontier into Russia and fired on civilians, killing one person, shooting at a car that contained a child. But these people in the Ukrainian forces were actually Russian citizens. Now, the Ukrainian government has vehemently denied this. They usually simply don't comment on allegations. They've attacked inside Russia, which they have done with drones and things like that, as is their legal right to launch such attacks. But this one, uniquely, they said, no, we didn't do it, which lends them all the more credibility. And there's a suspiciously convenient timing for this for the Kremlin, because it comes the very next day after Putin said, oh, the Ukrainians are really bad, they're going to invade us. Well, just fancy that. What are the chances of that? Lucky timing. You think the Ukrainians wouldn't do it the very next day if that was really the case. So Russian regions adjacent to Ukraine are regularly shelled, but there have not been many accusations of fighting on the ground. So although this is a very petty incident in a war that's killed, you know, perhaps 100,000 people already, President Vladimir Putin saw fit to comment on it. Now, why, when hundreds of people were getting killed every single day, would he comment on an incident which is just a solitary person was killed, where clearly he really wants to put the spotlight on this one? Then again, if they are fabricating it, wouldn't the Ruskies say that dozens of people have been killed or something like that? There's no lie too big for them to tell. And he said that neo-Nazis and terrorists today committed another terrorist attack, penetrated the border area and opened fire on civilians. Close quotation. Now, I concur with him. If you willfully open fire on civilians, knowing them to be civilians, that's your objective, to kill civilians, then that is a terrorist act, even if committed by soldiers of a lawfully constituted army. Now, there are virtually no neo-Nazis in Ukraine, obviously, whereas Russia is a neo-Nazi state with its cult of the personality, with its racist rhetoric, with its numerous large-scale atrocities committed abroad, with its hyper-nationalism, with its big lie theory, with its militarization of children, with its incessant brainwashing, with its huge-scale rigging of elections, with the wide-scale use of torture, and on and on and on. I mean, there's a Nazism checklist, and the Russian Federation checks most of these boxes, sadly. In Bryansk region, the local governor, Alexander Borgomaz, said there had been sabotage and this reconnaissance group had attacked a village and killed one person and injured a 10-year-old who was in the car. So the FSB, that's the Russian Federal Security Service, they and the defense ministry are doing their best to annihilate these Ukrainian nationalists, so they said. So the FSB has commented on it as well. So TASS, which is the state news agency, has talked about it as well. And even going further, claiming that they've seized hostages, civilian hostages. How many? Where have they taken them? No names released. So no corroborative details. So it's really not credible. It just you know, it fails a reality test. Methinks these are blatant lies. And no, I can't actually prove it, but it's up to them. The Russian state would never get the benefit of the doubt since they've told so many provable lies. They're just Pinocchio. So some videos were published on social media, and they showed just four men who spoke in Russian accents, perfect Russian grammar, saying that they were Russians and part of the Russian Volunteer Corps, the RVK, because you know, there's no soft C in Russian, and they're a volunteer group inside the Ukrainian army, sworn to overthrow the Putin regime and bring freedom to Russia. And one of them is Denis Nikitin, who's thought to be a neo-Nazi. They didn't actually end Slava Ukraine. When all these Ukrainian propaganda videos, all them, that one, they got yellow tape on them. Now, why would you do that? Fighting in Ukraine, the Russians wear red tape, the Ukrainians wear yellow tape, because you see a figure in camouflage uniform some distance away. Is he my side? Is he not? You don't know. You shoot him, dead. Turns out, he was on my side. So the tape tells you to make sure that there are fewer of these, blue-on-blue incidents. But wait a second. If you're deep inside Russia and they're wearing mostly civilian clothes, why on earth would you do that? Because that will mark you out as being on the Ukrainian side. You want to be inconspicuous, unobtrusive, and that, you know, if any of the Russian security forces happen to see you carrying weapons open, you say, oh, must be our guys, FSB undercover or whatever. Remember, actually, when Russia attacked the Ukraine at the beginning, some of their troops were wearing civilian clothes. They weren't recognized as soldiers straight away. But this would mark you out as Ukrainian. I mean, it's just so imbecilic. It's a basic error. So it's just yet another very clumsy forgery or hoax. It's been geolocated to villages just inside Russia, and that does lend it some spurious plausibility. The street view has shown where it's actually happened. So the FSB has talked about it an awful lot. So they're Ukrainian nationalists, and they're preparing for a huge artillery strike and all the rest of it. Again, labeling them terrorists and stuff like this. So the Ukrainian presidency, well, one of Putin's, not Putin's, forgive me, Zelensky's spokesman, Mikhailo Podolyak, released a statement on Twitter saying that this is bogus, they're being false accused by Russia, and this is simply provocation because the war is going so badly. How are they going to gin up the public? Well, they ginger them up by saying, well, they're attacking us, we have to fight, as though this is somehow a justificatory of their illegal war of unprovoked aggression. The morale might be flagging, although actually Putin's popularity rating is quite high, say like 70%. Approval of the war is almost as high, so it's staggering. I suppose when state propaganda goes into overdrive, you've got 360-degree propaganda, it's not difficult to convince people. I mean, it's astonishing how many Germans were willing to fight to the end in 1945, and they were suffering far more than Russia is at the moment. So the whole idea that the very existence of Ukraine is an existential threat to Russia, like Putin was saying the other day, the supposed Western conspiracy to split Russia up into several different countries. And obviously, in some senses, Russia is different countries. The Bashkirs, the Tatars, the Yakuts, and so on, they're nations really by any definition. And they're only in Russia because they were conquered. And Tatarstan even proclaimed independence after a free vote in the early 90s, but back down under threat of violence. So in some ways, they are occupied countries, but they're not legally recognized as being independent. So they're subjugated. They're only held down by force. And if they had a chance, they would be independent. Independent and free isn't always the same thing. In this case, it could be. When people are free to choose, they choose freedom, as Margaret Thatcher said. Russia's just gone further the other day, extending the law on discreditation of the military, the mildest criticism to get 7 years in prison, and anyone who's fighting the Russian side, even though not in the Russian army, you can't criticize them, even what you say is absolutely true. So there have been some minor fires in Bryansk region, which is bordering bordering Ukraine, from various Ukrainian attacks, allegedly. So methinks the thing is actually a false flag by Russia. Not certain of that. But the idea that there's this Russian volunteer attacking in, I think, is a lie. And so much attention devoted to only four men shows that really it is a Russian propaganda operation. Why would they put the spotlight on that rather than things which are far larger scale happening in Bakhmut? I suppose because it's going so badly for Russia that, you know, after 6 months, they still haven't taken Bakhmut. Right. Thank you so much for watching. Goodbye.